Friends, in the gospel for today, Jesus poses a tough question. Who has first place in your life? Your family or me? Now, family members are certainly important to me. I love my family. I enjoy having them around me. I enjoy eating with them, holding the little ones, playing with them, singing with them. And if I can have the two pictures of the grandchildren, please. Oh, well, here's one. Great-grandchildren. This is Lars. He's 16 months. And this is Ren. Ren's 8 months. I love being with these two little blokes. They're a real blessing to me. They give me real joy. Next one, here they are sitting together in a double pram. Double trouble coming up, I think. Yes, these little fellas bring real joy to me. Thank you. Thank you for those. You can take them away. But good as they are, families present us Christians with a danger. And the danger is that we make our family into an idol, into a counterfeit God. The first commandment is, you shall have no other gods. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And anything you fear, love, trust and obey more than God is a false god. It's an idol. And families too can become an idol. Modern idols are money, success, body, image and power. But families, as I said, they can too become an idol. When your family comes between you and God, when your highest loyalty is to your family rather than God, then your family has become an idol. So, who has first place in your heart? If you were to choose between God and family, who would you choose? Now, thank God that most of us don't have to make that choice. But it can and it does happen. When one member of a family becomes a Christian, in some families this has very significant consequences. I'm told that when a member of a strict Jewish family converts to Christianity, that Jewish family is likely to hold a funeral service because they regard the person who becomes a Christian as gone, as dead. They're cut off for the family. When I was in Sydney, an Islamic couple from Iran came to one of our congregations there and said, "We want to become Christians." So they were instructed in the Christian faith and baptized, and it was a wonderful event. And I was so thrilled that I wanted to write it up in our Lutheran newsletter, send it out. And they said, "Please, please no, don't do that. If you do that, we're likely to be severely injured, maybe killed." So when this is the likely outcome, followers of Jesus face a difficult choice. They must choose who has first place in their hearts, Jesus or family. And that's the kind of choice that Abraham is confronted with in today's reading. Abraham is known as a man of faith. He's called the father of believers. When Abraham's 75 years old, God calls him and says, "Leave your family, leave your country, go to the land that I will show you." Off Abraham goes, and on the way, God gives him another promise. God says to him, "I will make you a great nation. And all the nations of the world will get a blessing through you and your family." And that promise means that Abraham will have children. He will have a son. And that son will begin a nation, and that nation will bring a blessing to all nations. But the years pass and the promise is not fulfilled. They have no children. And tired of waiting for God to come good on his word, Abraham's wife, Sarah, gives her servant girl, Hagar, to Abraham as his concubine. And then she has a son called Ishmael. And this is one of several instances where Abraham did not act in faith and obedience to God. He followed human wisdom, and his dealings with Hagar created enmity between Abraham's descendants that's still going on today. Finally, when Abraham's 100 years old and Sarah is over 90, the promise of God comes true. Sarah has a son. And you can imagine the joy of these aged parents when they held that little bloke in their arms, eh? You can imagine the joy. And they were so full of delight that they called him Isaac, which means laughing boy. Their little laughing boy. And how they must have loved that little fella. He was their future. He was the fulfillment of all their hopes and all their dreams. All the promises of God rested on this little fella. But was their love for him becoming adoration? Were they making an idol of their son? Who now has first place in Abraham's heart? Is it God? Or little Isaac? And then we read that God gave Abraham a second call. Take your son, your only son, whom you love, and sacrifice your son as a burnt offering to me. In the ancient world, sacrificing children to a god was a fairly common practice. Abraham's neighbours in the land that he went to would have done this. They did this. When they built a new house, they often sacrificed one of their children to one of the local gods to ask for his blessing on and protection on their new home. And archaeologists today frequently find the bones of little ones on the foundations of these ancient houses. Imagine how Abraham felt when he heard God's command. We can only guess at his agony and his questioning. God, you promised me that I would have a son. And now you're asking me to sacrifice this boy? The one that you've given to me to bless the nations and the world? It doesn't make any sense. And yet, he went to do what God asked him to do. He went with fear and trembling and confusion, but also with faith, some faith. Note what he says to the servants. You stay here. We will come back to you. We will come back to you. Both of us will come back to you. He didn't know how, but yet in all his fear and all his confusion, he goes trusting that somehow, God would keep his promise. And finally they arrive at the place of sacrifice. Abraham builds an altar, arranges the wood on it, binds his son, puts him on the wood, takes a knife, prepares to sacrifice his son. And the very moment God calls, Abraham, Abraham, do not lay a hand on the boy, for now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham passes the test. He shows that he honors, loves, and trusts God above all, above his boy, above his family, above his hopes for the future. Now, I have to tell you that when I hear this story, the father in me protests. This is monstrous. This is awful. I feel like shaking my fist and saying to God, how would you like it if you were in Abraham's shoes and you had to make that choice? And then the penny drops. Then I remember that God has stood in Abraham's shoes. That God has made that awful choice. On Good Friday, God gave up his one and only son to die on a cross for you and for me. On that day, God himself passed the test that he gave to Abraham. On that same spot where Abraham built an altar, Jesus died for you and me to forgive us our sins and give us peace with God. When God stops Abraham from sacrificing his son, he provides Abraham with a substitute. Abraham sees this ram, his horns are caught in the bushes, goes, gets that lamb and makes that as his sacrifice to God. And Abraham calls the name of that hill there, that hilltop, the Lord provides, or the Lord will provide. And centuries later, on that same hill, God provided a substitute for you and me, his own son, Jesus, the Lamb of God. If you ever question God's love, and I'm sure you do from time to time, you ever question God's love, look to the cross and say, God, now I know how much you love me. You didn't keep back your own son, but you offered him up for us all. And because of that sacrifice of your son for me, I will trust you. I will trust you when life is confusing, when life is sad, when life doesn't make sense. I will trust you. I'll put my life in your hands. And I will believe that you will provide for me. Let me finish by referring to the kids' song that you all know. Father Abraham has many sons, as many sons as Father Abraham. I'm one of them. So are you. So let's all praise the Lord. Yes, praise the Lord for calling you to faith like he called Abraham to faith. Praise the Lord for loving you when your faith has failed, just like he continued to love Abraham when his faith failed. Praise the Lord for sacrificing his son for you, like Abraham was ready to do. And praise the Lord by giving him first place in your heart and in your life, like Abraham did. Let's all praise the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for your great love for each one of us. Help us to trust you and to love you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.